Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please take these words and feed us through them. May we, like the apostle, be driven to praise you because of all we discover you to have done for us. So build us up, we pray this morning, Heavenly Father. Amen. Well, when you consider what life is like and everything that comes to us from all different places, what we have to go through in life, some of it joyful, yes, but much of it challenging and difficult. How is it that we've all turned up this morning and we're all here and we're all saying that we're Christians and we're still Christians? How could it possibly be that in the midst of all that, you and I might still be a Christian? How on earth did we become Christians in the first place? Why is it that we're still a Christian, and why do we have hope for the future? And probably thinking of staying Christian as we continue through life. Why would that be? Any of us. Why would it be true for any of us? It doesn't make any difference. The world is still the same when you're a vicar and have been ordained and all that sort of thing, as it is for everybody else. Why are any of us still Christians? People say that we're wrong. You can read about that readily online. You may have conversations at school or at work where they'll just say you're wrong about things. In other parts of the world, there's actual active persecution of people who are Christians. There are the challenges of illness and suffering which come to us all. There are the challenges of mental health. There's the challenge of temptation, those clever deceits that come our way where people say to us, you know, you don't really have to think about God like that. No, don't worry about what the apostle says. What about thinking about God like this? All those subtle pulls on our loyalty to Jesus. Jesus talked about all these sorts of things in the parable of the sower. If you remember, he talked about the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things. He talked about the powers of evil snatching away the good news. There are powers like this all around us. These deceits and these desires and these worries, they're all around us. You'll bump into them at school. You'll bump into them at work, in the family, in the media, in social media. All the time we're in this maelstrom, this swirling, these powers are swirling around us, trying to draw us away from Jesus, making it not as straightforward as it might be to be a faithful Christian disciple. So how on earth is it that we're all still here? How on earth is it that we're all still Christian and we're planning on staying Christian? How did we become Christians in the first place, in the middle of all that? How could it possibly be that we're thinking of multiplying a congregation if all of this is what's swirling around in the world? Well, it's no different from Ephesus. If you were with us last week, you'll have discovered that the city of Ephesus, it's the cultural, economic, political, and spiritual center of that part of Ephesus. All these things and more, all these pressures, all these distractions are present in Ephesus for the people that Paul is writing to. We saw those very obvious evil powers at work in Ephesus. They've got a bit of idolatry going on with Artemis. They're wealthy and they like their wealth. They've certainly been deceived by that. There were even riots in Ephesus because of the Christian gospel arriving. How easily God gets eclipsed. How easy it would be for God to be eclipsed in the pursuit of something else, or because of the pressure of something else. And yet there are Christians still in Ephesus in the middle of all that. And there's Christians still in Oswestry in the 21st century in the middle of all that. Why? It makes no sense. How can it be? Why are we still going? Why are we growing? Well, the answer is, and it won't be a surprise, the answer is God alone. The answer is in Christ alone, and the answer is by grace alone. And that, as we hopefully will see, should drive us to praise God. Being a Christian today means, according to verse 3, being blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you're somebody who's trusted Christ, if you're a Christian, then today you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Now, it's a struggle to think about this, really, because we quite often think, well, maybe that's something that's over there. That's where these heavenly realms are, and that's where I'm blessed. But actually, I have to live here on earth, and it doesn't feel like that at all. And so we have a kind of over there thing. So we just, verse 3 is about something over there that I don't really get, but I know what my life is like now. Now, Paul doesn't think like that. We must not separate these spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenly places from who we are today as we sit here. In one sense, it's an acknowledgement that there are powers at work now that we can't see. Spiritual powers which are real. Paul will talk later in the letter about spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly realms. But we mustn't separate those from the actual life that we're living today. We mustn't separate between what's going on there and what's going on here. In Paul's mind, it's just what's going on everywhere. There's one arena in which the Christian lives. The other way of putting that is to say that everything is about spiritual powers in the heavenly places. That's what we've just thought about. There are powers everywhere seeking to deceive us or pull us away or take us in one direction rather than another. Some of them we can see clearly. They stand in front of us and tell us we're wrong. Others are much more subtle. But behind and a part of all of those things is, where is the power? There is only one arena. Ephesians ends, as Elvin referred to in his prayers, with a call to stand in that arena. The arena of where powers are at work. Things that we can see and things that we can't see. But we, as Christians, stand in that arena in a particular condition. In that arena where we might have all sorts of things pulling at us, be it at school, at work, in the family, wherever it is, where temptations come and suffering comes, where things might come from within our own hearts, which try to take us away from Jesus, and things which come completely out of our control come and challenge our discipleship. In that arena, spiritual powers are at work all the time, in every case. But in that arena, we are the people who stand with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's the difference. That's why Paul says that. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So spiritual powers of evil have been overcome. They have no hold. When people say that we're believing something that's untrue, that has no power. Where suffering and illness challenge our faith, we should recognize that they do not hold the power to drive us away from Christ, because in Christ we have every spiritual blessing in the arena, in the battle, in the heavenly realms. Everything that happens to us is seen and unseen. So whatever comes your way, whatever power, event, conversation, unknown, might try to trouble you, might be through something you can see, something you can't see, might be through your own will, weakness, might be through circumstances that are far beyond your control, we still stand safe and secure in every spiritual blessing in Christ. Why? Because that's what God has purposed in Christ by his grace. Look at verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Why do we stand in this special place of blessing in the midst of everything that the universe holds? Why? Because God planned it for us. He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. God made sure that it happened for us. He planned it for us, and he made sure it happened for us. Verse 5, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure of his will. God planned for us to have every spiritual blessing in Christ, to be secure in him now. And he made sure that it happened for us by adoption. He planned for us to be suitable children for him, holy and blameless in his sight, and he adopted us into his family through Jesus Christ. God planned it for us. God made sure it happened for us through the death of Jesus for us. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Bought by God, sins forgiven, through the death of Jesus for us. Do you see why Paul in both verse 6 and then in verse 8 is driven to praise God for his glorious grace? This is all God. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. The grace that he lavished on us. You would say so, wouldn't you? In the face of everything that swirls around, that God should have done this for you and me to make us stand in a place of every spiritual blessing amongst all those powers, that he planned it to happen, he made sure that it did happen through the death of his own son. What exactly have we contributed to this so far? Now, this is grace, God's favor to us. And he's told us about it. Verses 8 and 9. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. If you look at those verses, perhaps being a Christian is more than you imagined it was. The whole creation, everything that is seen and unseen, every power will be brought under Christ. So to be in Christ, to be a Christian, is to be at the heart of God's purpose for absolutely everything. Seen and unseen. Indeed, therefore, to be in Christ is to be blessed with every spiritual blessing, because you sit at the very heart of the purposes of God for the whole universe, to bring everything under the Christ in whom we are. So in the face of all the reality of life, the powers, the struggles, the Christian is someone who has put their hope in Christ. Look at verses 11 and 12. Here we have this plan, this working it out again. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of God. Of his glory. Because of where it's all going, where it's all heading, that Christ is going to be over all, everything will be brought together under him. God is unfailingly working that out. You couldn't put it much more clearly, could you? According to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God unfailingly working out his purpose. Planned, made sure that it happens. And therefore, Christians themselves, we ourselves, are for the praise and glory of God. Because we're the ones who are on the inside of this purpose. We're on the inside. We know what's going on. We know about God's eternal purpose for everything. So in that sense, Christians are an advert, if you like, to the world of where the world is going. We are the only people who have already begun living in the way that everything will live forever. We're the only ones who currently live in Christ. But everything will be brought to unity under him in the end. So there may be all sorts of powers swirling around, but we stand in the place of every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the purposes of God. So the Christian is someone who's put their hope in Christ and has done so because God planned it and he made sure it would happen through Jesus' death for us. And he's told us all about it. And so Paul says in verse 13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed." God included us in Christ. The gospel was heard and believed. And so then the Spirit comes because God himself binds himself to us by his Spirit. So there is a seal that can never be broken and an inheritance that can never be lost because God has bound himself to us by his Spirit. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The seal will never be broken. The guarantee will never be lost. God included you in Christ to the praise of his glory. Why do you think Christians preach the gospel? Because it's the only way anybody and everybody gets to be included in Christ. To stand in that place in the midst of all the swirling powers around us, seen and unseen, to stand in the place of every spiritual blessing forever to the praise of his glory. Just take a step back. How much more do you want God to do for you? Think about it. From before the creation of the world, through the death of Jesus, he'd done all this before we'd even existed, in that sense. From before the creation of the world, through the death of Jesus, the gospel coming, you being included in Christ, therefore having a guaranteed inheritance when the times will have reached their fulfillment. Before, through, your own life, forever. See, why are you still a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Why did you become a Christian? Why are you still a Christian? Why are you going to stay a Christian? Well, for many of you, this will be a great word of comfort. Well, to be honest, I'm not very good at holding on to Jesus. So often I feel like I'm not going to really stick it out as a Christian. I'm not very good at holding on and being faithful and following. I feel all those pulls and temptations and things howling around all the time, whether I'm at work or wherever I am. So why are you still a Christian if that's you this morning? Well, it's because God has hold of you. And he planned it for you, and he made sure it happened for you, and Jesus' death is effective for you. It's reliant entirely on him. He's told you about it. God has included you because he brought you the gospel. You believed it. It's because of God's loving and powerful grace that in the arena that counts, his grace is more powerful than what you fear. and it's been sure since before the creation of the world until after the times reach their fulfillment. Because there's usually other Christians who think, yeah, I'm still a Christian today because I'm pretty good at holding on to Jesus. I don't feel like I'm going to give up. I've faced down all the challenges that come my way. To be honest, I'm pretty good at holding on to Jesus. Why are you pretty good at holding on to Jesus? It's not you or your power. That's simply a statement of God's powerful grace at work in you too. It's the power of God's grace from before start to finish. See, where do you stand today on these sorts of questions? Do you feel like a reliable Christian or an unreliable Christian? A weak Christian or a strong Christian? A joyful Christian or a sorrowing Christian? A particularly godly Christian today or a particularly ungodly Christian? Do you feel weighed down with temptation? Or are you rejoicing in battles won? Are you persecuted or comfortable? See, it doesn't matter which side of those things you fall today. You're a Christian today because God has had his hand over the whole thing right the way through. Because tomorrow, or in 6 months' time, or in 3 years' time, you might be completely on the other side of those things. You might feel strong today, but there'll come a time in your Christian life when you feel weak. You might be rejoicing in overcoming a temptation today, but there'll be times when you're weighed down. In the maelstrom of life, in all its ups and downs, it's the power of God's grace in Christ for us before the start of creation until the end of time, which means we are Christians today, which means we will stay Christians today, the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The only place where there is every spiritual blessing is in Christ, who is over and above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every possible name that could be called on in the present age and the age to come. Do you not feel that this gives you a certain freedom in the realities of life, where powers do come? Temptations do come. Illness comes. Where people tell us that we're just believing a myth. You can't really believe those old stories, can you? Where people try to draw us away. Do you feel the freedom that this brings? That to know that this God is for you and that he is for you to this extent, that from before the creation of the world until its fulfillment, God, in Christ alone, by grace alone, plans, secures, and establishes his people. Does it not give you assurance that whatever is happening, whatever is to come, and we don't know what is to come, we are bound by God in Christ from before, now, forever, and beyond? That's what Paul says. That's what these verses say. Does it not give you encouragement to grow in this gospel? The gospel that when you heard it and believed it meant that you got included in this great purpose in Christ. Does it not give us encouragement to grow in this gospel, to speak this gospel to others? To grow in what has been revealed, what has been made known, and to speak this truth in love to one another? Does it not encourage us to be full of the Spirit daily, as Paul will go on to say, as we head towards this certain inheritance. Encourage us to fellowship with one another in peace and unity. Why would you not fellowship with the one group of people who in common lie at the heart of God's purposes for the whole universe? It's an amazing idea of what church is. But that's what it is. So why would we, is this not an encouragement to fellowship together? Is it not an encouragement to us to shun corruption and to walk in holiness? That's what we were chosen for. To be suitable children of God, holy and blameless in his sight. Does it not give us encouragement to bat away any rival powers, be they seen or unseen, that might try to pull us away from the Lord Jesus Christ? And therefore, does it not make us want to praise God in Christ Jesus? For he has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly realms, whatever is rolling around. How come we're still here? How come you're a Christian? How come you've kept going as a Christian? How come you'll keep going as a Christian? Because of God's powerful, loving, unfailing grace from before the creation of the world until after the fulfillment of the ages. Verses 1 and 2 wash over us, don't they? They're just the intro. We talked about this last week. Well, maybe they've been filled out a little bit more. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, in Oswestry Street, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray before we sing. Our Father, what more could you have done for us? We recognize that, yes, we do have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Move us, Heavenly Father, to praise you for your glorious grace that you have freely lavished on us through your Son, whom you love. Help us, therefore, to stand in the midst of everything that life brings to us, to stand in him by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.